Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday night Halacha Shir, based on the weekly Parsha. Double Parsha this week. Vayakel Pekudei Vayasas Akior Nechoshes Ves Kano Nechoshes B'mar Ot Hatsov Ot. The Kior was made with the mirrors Asher Tzevu Pesach Omoed. That was gathered, the mirrors were gathered in the beginning, the entrance of the Omoed. This evening's Shir is going to be about Charoses. Pesach is coming up. We want to learn the practical side of town of Charoses. There's quite a bit of Rambam to discuss that we have to talk about. Some lumdas from Rav Soloveitchik. But we're going to start talking about the Kior and the mirrors of the Mishkan. Anyone know the relationship between Charoses and the mirrors of the Mishkan? Rashi says, what was the source of these mirrors? Benos Yisrael, Hayu Biyadon Maros. The daughters of Israel had these mirrors. Shiro'ot bahen kishen mitkashtot. Very good, Adam. So Dr. Karp nails it. But the women would specifically look into these mirrors when they were all adorned in their jewelry. Even though these might have been seemingly trivial, maybe even quote-unquote sensitive, private, something related to a woman's beauty or maybe private life, they did not withhold from dedicating these mirrors towards the Mishkan. Moshe actually did not want to accept these mirrors, why they were associated with the Yetzer Hara. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi. Kibel, no, Moshe, take these mirrors. Ki elu chaviven alai min hakol. These mirrors are actually my favorite contribution towards the Mishkan. Shal yideim hamidu nashim halalu tzvaos rabos b'mitzrayim. Do you know what happened to these mirrors? The Jewish women were able to give birth to numbers and numbers of Jews. Why? Because the men would be tired when they would come home from the fields. And guess what? The Gemara in Sota, the Beis is really echoed in Rashi. It's the next Makor on the sheet. Mesechah Sota, the Beis, Darsh Rav Avira. Bishar Nashim Tzitkani Yoshayu Ba'osa Ador. Nig'olu Yisrael Mitzrayim Hashem. Freed us from Egypt. In the merit of those righteous women. What did the righteous women do, says the Gemara? They would go to the water. Why would they go to the water? To go get fish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would arrange for them to get fish, and they would take them, and they would have one pot with hot water, and a second pot with fish, and they would take the warm water and the cooked fish to their husbands in the field, and they would use the warm water to bathe their husbands. They would feed them the fish, they would give them a drink, and they would be together. And only because of the valiant efforts of these women were the men strong enough to have more children. And you know what happened? They became pregnant. And it was dangerous to give birth with the Mitzrayim hunting down Jewish boys, and they would actually have to go give birth where? In the fields. The Gemara ends there, Holchos v'yoldos besadeh, they would actually give birth in the fields, literally under the apple tree, but seemingly not a real apple tree. I'm not exactly sure what type of citrus fruit, whatever it was at the time. And the pasuk in Shir Shirim says, "Tachas atapuach orar sicha." Right? There was some form of intimacy or a birth that took place in the fields, under those trees, etc. It's related both to Parshas Vayakel and to Charoses. Why? Any connections to Charoses? What do we put in Charoses? What was one of the key ingredients? Apples. Why? Why apples? Take a guess. Right? Because of this pasuk. We're literally referencing this episode with the Charoses, that the women were so, we'll say, instrumental in prolonging the Jewish nation. And that's actually part of Charoses. So let's begin this evening. We'll learn a little bit of Mishnah. We'll learn a little bit of Gemara. We'll try to stick to the practical halacha. Here we go. There's a Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. It's the 10th parak, Arvei Pesachim, the third Mishnah. Okay, on the Mar Makomo sheet, it's after Maseches Sota. Hevi'u lefanav mitabel b'chazeres ad shemayil peperes apas. So we're talking about karpas until you get to the matzah. We could gloss over that for a second. Hevi'u lefanav matzah b'chazeres b'charoses. So there it is. Ding, ding, ding. Charoses is directly mentioned in the Mishnah. The Shnei Tav Shilin. Aval Pishen Charoses Mitzvah. Ding Dai. So that's the key line for now. They would bring Charoses to the table, even though what Charoses is not a mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. In contrast, it's underlined Rabbi Eliezer, Bard, Tzaddok, Omer, Mitzvah. No! Charoses is a mitzvah at the Seder. Anyone want to maybe suggest what in the place that even means? What does that even mean? Is it a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? I mean, everyone agrees that the charoses makes it to the table. The Tanakhama was a little bit apologetic, meaning we bring the charoses to the table along with the matzah and the maror, even though the charoses is not on the same pedestal, meaning the matzah is a mitzvah, the maror is a mitzvah. The charoses is not a mitzvah, but it's brought to the table. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzaddok says, no, it is a mitzvah. It's a funny machlokes. Now, what are they actually arguing about? Everyone agrees that what? You bring it to the table. And they only disagree after whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. Does anyone want to even take a guess as to what that even means? If it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? It's a funny machlokes, no? Anyone seeing anything? And what does it mean that it is a mitzvah? What does it even mean? It's a mitzvah. He said, it can't be d'oraisa. I'm almost going to say it's a d'oraisa. I mean, if it was, it's a matzah, the rice of the Mars of the Rabbanim. And the Gemara is going to say what it even means that it's a mitzvah. So here we go. Says the Heilige Gemara. Here we go. The Seches Psachim Kuf Dezayin Amin Aleph. Af al pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. So according to the Rabbanim, v'ilo mitzvah, mishumai maisila. So if it's not a mitzvah, what are you bringing it for? Amar Rav Ami, Rabbi Ami, Mishum Kappa. What's this Kappa thing? This venomous or dangerous component to the Maror. So what would you need to do? Dip the Maror in the Charoses to offset this Kappa thing so that the Maror does not harm you. So inherently, the Charoses is not really a mitzvah. It's only there to protect you from the Maror. There's a Machlokes, we showed him exactly what that means. The Rashbam explains, Mishum Kappa. Saraf hachazeret kashehu, the burning sensation, the spice, the bitterness, really, of the maror is really, really difficult, very sharp. The harehu ki eres, it's like venom. Not literally that it's a poisonous substance, but if you were to take a bite into a stalk of horseradish, we know it's probably not recommended medically, so you need to offset it, you dip it into some ketchup or whatever, you know, something sweet, you put some sugar on it, so obviously not halachically. However, in a similar vein, you would dip the maror into the charoses to offset the bitterness. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos of Tosav Elman Bey says, Peirush Rabbeinu Chananel, tola'at. What's a tola'at? A worm. So we could understand such a thing that in the maror, there was some form of worm or poisonous something. And in order to not to get caught up in that, poisonous worm, you would have to dip it in the charoses. And how the charoses help? Apparently it would kill the worm. Nowadays, many people wash vegetables with vinegar, no? So, I don't know. You could understand such a concept. No, not too far-fetched. Alvin, you buying it? Not buying it? We're bought in? Shlomo, we're bought in or no?
If the issue is
less,
then your problem is bugs, not...
Oh, so seemingly, in addition to the regular problem of bug eating... You know, this is seemingly a more venomous...
No, it's not.
It's a different type of... it's not the classical... It's a shrutzim because it wasn't out of the plant yet. I hear that.
Worms we can eat?
Well, yeah. Again, it's a sensitive topic, right, but yeah. Sharon's artist. That's very smart. That's right.
That quote, growing in something...
I like that. Okay. So that's a very sharp point. All right. So that's right. Well, he does. All right. Let's not get off topic too much. Anyway, so we explained the opinion of the Rabbanan. If it's not a mitzvah, what's the charoses for? It's to help out, so to speak, with the maror consumption. Good. What about Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzaddok? The Gemara wants to elaborate on his opinion. The Gemara Kuf Dezayin Amud Aleph on the bottom of the first page says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzaddok, Omer mitzvah, ask the Gemara, my mitzvah, what kind of mitzvah is this? This charoses mitzvah. Rabbi Levi Omer, zecher letapuach. Ah, like this week's parsha. Remember the apple tree or the citrus tree, whatever. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, zecher letit. So we know that the consistency of charosis is thick, like mortar. So to remind us of the bitter work we had to do in order to make the bricks, to make the clay, whatever, the cement. Amar Abai Hilchach Tzarech Likiyua. What does that mean? V'tzarech L'samuche. Likiyua is Zecher L'tapuach. So now the ingredients all of a sudden become halachic. What do we need to do? We need to add something that resembles a tapuach. We also need to do something Zecher L'tit. So based on, number one, the ingredients need to resemble a tapuach. And number two, the consistency needs to resemble mortar. Do we do that nowadays? What? Yeah, so number one, we do actual apples, right? That's the Minhag Yisrael. Yeah, so although it probably wasn't really apples, but
We use a sludge.
The consistency is like you know, what was the term you used?
Sludge.
Sludge.
Yeah, it's like a plaster. Sludge.
Yeah, but it's not an ingredient, meaning...
No, the consistency.
Yeah, the consistency is less sludgy. I like that. It's the official term in the wine shop home, yeah.
Like dozens of traditions in different countries.
Very good, very good. So Shlomo points out that there's no one way to go about your charosis. But the Minhag Klal Yisrael is very much in line with this Gemara, both in terms of the ingredients and in terms of the consistency. Tanya comes to the Rabbi Yochanan.
Isn't the minhag to get like...
Yeah, so the sticks. Yeah, very good. We'll get there. We'll get to the practice. Very good. You're 100% right, Robert. We will get to the practice. Don't you worry. 100%. Tanya Gavasi Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the price of supporting Rabbi Yochanan? Tavlin Zecher L'Tevin. So some people would use these cinnamon straws or some straw that would look like straw used to make bricks. Charoses Zecher L'Tit. And again, they would use the sludge hammer to mash it up like the wine shop home. Omrim Elezer Berbitzalik, Kachiu Omrim Tagre Charach Shebu Yerushalayim. The merchants in Yerushalayim used to say, Bohu, come, Vitalu Lachem Tavlin the Mitzvah. They used to sell, I guess, these cinnamon straws or these spices that looked like straw and would say, come, buy it. You know, imagine the marketplace of Yerushalayim before Pesach. This is what the merchants were trying to sell, namely, they wanted people to buy these items that looked like the straw. Very nice. So we've learned a Mishnah, a Machlokas Tanaim, a Gemara, elaborating on both sides. What we need to do is figure out the practical halacha. And then we have to throw in the Rav's Mahalach, because the Rav's Mahalach is like a game changer. Many Achuron say like him, but you have to appreciate it. It will kind of speak for itself. So on the beginning of the second page, let's learn the Raman very, very, very closely. Acharoses, mitzvah midivrei sofer. So the Raman took a stand in Paskind, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok. Namely, it's not a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah. And we don't even know what that means, whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. We didn't really see what the practical difference was there. Yet, we will hopefully see that. But the Raman then elaborates, it's like the mortar, and then he actually gives ingredients. You take the tamar or the grogros, the tzimukim. You take the raisins or the figs or the dates. You crush them up. You put in chometz, vinegar. You put the tavlin, that looks like straw. Now here's the key line in the Rambam. O mevi'in osa al hashulchan b'leil Pesach. What does that mean? And you put it on the table. Anyone want to explain why that's necessary in the Rambam? What's he trying to teach us? Oh, the Seder plate. That's what I thought also. So we're going to learn that it's on the Seder plate. Yeah, but it's a little bit of a funny line, right? You put it on the table.
Ask questions.
Oh, very good, very good, very good. So very good. I remember when Rabbi Yosef Ad of the Rosh Yeshiva of TABC taught this. He's like, what, are you going to put the charoses in your closet? And then he read this Rambam and he said, what, the Rambam's a cookbook? You know, he's telling us the ingredients. I mean, he built up the Rav's Mahalach, you know, Reverse Vandish, Magichir, par excellence, especially with high school kids. He knows how to get everyone on the edge of the seat. Unbelievable educator. So, we'll just take a little bit of an aside. It should be noted, the part of the shit that I glossed over is that the Rambam in the Parish of Mishnayos, the Rambam put it on the seat and the sheets, actually says that if the Rabbanan were correct, and I'm sorry, if Rabbi Eliezer ben Sadok was correct that it was a mitzvah, that would mean you need to make a bracha. And if it's a mitzvah unto itself, you would need to eat a kazayis. meaning if this was its own mitzvah, it would take on similar halachos of matzah and maror. Very good. So a lot of the mefarshim on the Rambam, like if you look at the Magen Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, all of them will go to town on this. You know, this is like the big hak. If this was just a brisker shir and yeshiva, you could spend the full day just on the shiddus of Rambam. The stira between the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayos, as opposed to the Rambam here in the Anach HaZarka. But we're going to try to stay a little bit more halachic lemaisa for the argument of this particular shir, but at least to get a little taste. Well, you go on in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Matchil u'mevarich b'pri adama. So you start your Seder, v'lokech yerek u'metavel oso b'charoses. So what does the Rambam hold? Karpas is not dipped in salt water, rather what? It's dipped in charoses. The Rambam says, v'ochel kezayis. That's also a unique shift of the Rambam, that we davki eat less than a kezayis of karpas, lest we fall into a bracha acharona problem. So, who are you guys? Celery? What do they have for karpas? Celery? Potato? What's the move in the mashup home? Potato. So, it's very hard mitzvah, right? Because you're starving by the Leil Seder. What do you want to have? You want to have a few kezayis of potatoes. But what's the nisayon? No. Less than a kezayis of a potato. The Rambam, though, he said, eat a kezayis. Okay, good. So it should be noted that the Shittas Rambam was to dip the karpas into charoses. And then the Rambam in Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, writes, okay, so we no longer have a Korban Pesach. So he goes into the order of the Seder. We make the bracha. We have the matzah. We take the matzah. And then he says, Metabel matzah b'charoses. B'chozer u'mevarech alachilas maro. Or metabel maro b'charoses. So not only do we dip the maro in the charoses, he actually also dip the maro and the matzah in the charoses, and then he says, "V'lo yishaya also b'charoses." Very important. This is a line of the Gemara that I did not quote. Namely, don't spend too much time in the charoses. Why not? If there's too much charoses on your maror, what's going to happen? Your maror will no longer be bitter. Shem yivatel taimo, and that's very, very bad. You don't want to lose the bitterness of your maror. The whole point of the maror is to be bitter. Not okay. Okay. And then what did you say? Then you do korech. What about korech? Do you dip down in charoses as well? Yes. Metabel b'charoses, and then zeichel mikdash. Now, when the Rambam said that you dip your matzah in the charoses, the Ravid says two words, ze hevel. What does that mean? That is nothingness. That's basically you're dead wrong, argues the Ravid. So, just a little bit of lumdis from the Rav and Hari Kedem Simon Sadi Dalad. What did the Rambam never say you do with charoses, by the way? He never said you actually eat the charoses. In the Perush HaMishnayos, his assumption was that if the charoses is a mitzvah, what would you do with it? Eat it. The Rambam, ironically, ends up paskening that charoses is a mitzvah. But what's the maisa mitzvah? How do you perform the mitzvah of charoses? You just bring it to the table. It's a dip. It's a prop. It's there as a symbol. Now you do dip, but why are you dipping your matzah, your maror, your korech into it? Seemingly, argues Rav Soloveitchik, because the main function of charoses as at the Seder is more symbolic to remind us of the tit and all the other items that the charoses reminds us. Rav Soloveitchik writes, "Aval ein mitzvasa ba'achila klal." The main mitzvah is not the eating of the charoses, rather what? The main mitzvah, argues of Soloveitchik, is midinei hava'as al ha-shulchan. That's the main mitzvah, to have it on the Seder, to have it on the table. Didina lavi al ha-shulchan ein al ha-shem b'yas reikonis, v'lachein u'tzach l'tzar v'le mitzvah z'alayla. But once you bring it to the table, what are you going to do? Leave it alone? No, you got to acknowledge it. So how do you acknowledge the charoses? By dipping as often as you can. Meaning you got to use your prop. But the main mitzvah of the charoses is behava'a bilvad. That's what he writes. Meaning, it's there as a prop, as a symbol, as almost a monument. Imagine you're in a museum, and there's a beautiful charoses plaque. What is this about? What does this represent? Well, you know, the tit, the women, the mortar, the whatever. So we got to come back to that. So dip this in it, dip this in it. And that is how the Rav Soloveitchik explains the final shittas of the Rambam. But originally, the machlokas tanai might have been more about whether or not there's a mitzvah to eat the chavrus as his own mitzvah, or is it more of a secondary component? All right, I don't want to get too into the Rav, but it should be noted that whereas we might have thought that chavrus was like a cute, tasty food, there's a lot of lumdus, believe it or not, thick and thin. I was trying to make like a pun for like chavrus. So chavrus is sledged and sludged and slushed up with lumdus. Does it have to be edible?
What if you put plaster on the table? You're not going to dip it?
No, chasvachalei, no. It's got to be edible. No, first of all, the symbolism is edible foods as a dip. I mean, there still is a parameter there, right? I mean, there are guidelines as well as parameters.
It has to be edible.
Yeah, it's a dip. And the whole point even is to make the mara edible. Yeah, no, it's definitely an edible.
Otherwise, it's muksa?
No, I don't know. Muksa, if you dedicate it as a plaque, as a monument or whatever, anything that has a purpose is not muksa. You can designate it for your Pesach Seder table as a prop, even if it was not edible. But no, we're going to assume that the I like your question a lot, but on a halakhic level, it's got to be edible, yeah. No, I like that. No, obviously.
So,
you don't want to get too lost in translation. No. Symbolism does not override the
other stuff. And then what if you want to eat the charoset?
Oh, very good. And now let's get practical. Again, I love the lumdus. Again, we should all be zocha to take a sabbatical together when Mashiach comes and learn. Maybe just next year we'll all go to Yerushalayim together. We'll learn with Jake, Jerome. We'll have our kolel next year in Yerushalayim, please God. That being said, for now, let's just try to figure out how not to mess up the Seder. All right, let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch, Mishabrua, and such. But we will come back to the Lumdus. So you have the Seder plate with three matzos on it. Maror, Charoses, Karpas, etc. All right, now, the Mishabrua there explains Charoses. What's the function of the Charoses? Kedei litbolbo, as a Maror, good. So it should be noted that the Mishnah Berurah explains karpas was the name of a vegetable. It was called karpas, and we know the symbolism of karpas was backwards. Samach Perech, 600,000 Jews had back-breaking labor. Now, if I'm to tell you that charoses is nothing more than a dip for the maror, what's missing at the Seder plate? What do we dip the karpas into? Salt water. Why is that not on the Seder plate? I like this question. Why? It highlights Rav Soloveitchik's point. The charoses is part of the show. The salt water, not as much. Okay, it's true we're going to end up dipping the karpas into salt water, but why is it not in the, why did it not make the Seder plate? Because that's a dip. Charoses is a, there's a dip. There's a dip, you know, with the brand name, and there's a dip that's cheaper. So I wanted to argue that you see that there's a din, like Rav Soloveitchik saying in the Rambam, charoses should be on the table inherently, like where Shlomo predicted. It's on the Seder plate. Okay, you want to argue, so once that's a dip on the Seder plate, so why is the salt water? Practically, by the way, how many of you end up putting salt water on your Seder plates? Now it doesn't make the cut, but it's just on the table. It's on the table, but not the Seder plate. Uh-huh, right? Isn't that interesting? Right, you might have thought that they should be equal.
The salt water, you're using that. That's part of, you don't wipe off the salt water.
Ooh, yikes.
But it's off the Seder plate, and the charoses, which is on the Seder plate.
Right, we're going to use that. Very good. I like that. Okay, so that's a good point also. So you said the salt water is the unsung hero at the Seder. I like that point, Robert. Right, so you would have done it differently. I hear that. But again, this is what we do. The Rama points out how to make charoses. It should be thick, like the tit, right? And then you put in a little bit of vinegar or red wine, remembering the blood. Yikes. And you should include fruit that the Jewish people are compared to. Tapuchim, te'enim, egozim, rimon, mishkedim. You put the kinamon or zangbil. Anything that has a straw-like substance, consistency, again, to remind us of the straw. And it should be the consistency of the mortar. Very, very nice. Okay, so that's black on white, Shulchan Aruch, Rama. I just want to see if in the Mishnah Brura he quotes that idea of why the apples, he references the women, the, you know. Yeah. Right. So this midrash that we mentioned earlier with the women in the fields under the apple tree, so that is in the Mishnah Brura as well. Okay. Now, there is an opinion out there. What's the deal with the Zecher L'dam? What dam are we remembering, by the way? What dam was associated with mortar? Oh, but Rav Adler, I remember when he gave the shiur on TABC, or whenever he gave the shiur, I listened to, he said that there's an opinion out there that says, remember when they crushed children, Rahman al-Islam, as mortar, when they didn't have enough supplies. So it actually fits somewhat nice in the sense that once we're being Zecher L'tit, so that maybe the red wine is a reference to that blood of the innocent children. Okay, so going on. The Shulchan Aruch will say that you take your karpas, you dip it into vinegar. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Mishnah Berurah interestingly says, you could dip your karpas into wine or salt water or anything else, but except for charoses. As opposed to the Rambam, who felt that you should specifically dip your karpas into charoses, the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Beis Yosef says, no. Why? Because we need the second dipping to specifically be charoses. And how does one make the discrepancy, the distinction between dip number one and dip number two? Dip number two needs to be distinct, and that's charoses. And therefore, the minhag klal Yisrael is to specifically not dip their karpas into charoses. But maybe that's also why the salt water is not on the kara, because there's no one way to dip your karpas. It could be anything. It could be wine or salt water or vinegar. All right? Now, the Shulchan Aruch goes on. Now, the practical way to go through your charoses. So you take your kazayas of maror, v'yishke'enu kulo b'charoses, and dip it all into charoses, but don't leave it in there too long. Why? As the Rambam told us, as the Gemara said, because we don't want to nullify the bitter taste of the maror. Umitam zet sarich l'na'er ha'charoses me'alav. And you know what you need to do? You need to shake off the charoses. Did you end up eating any charoses? Right? Isn't it interesting? So we probably all have family members who pile on the charoses onto, right? I have a brother-in-law who shall remain nameless who, he's the charoses, garbage can at the Seder, but not during Maror. Everyone obviously likes charoses more than matzah and Maror maybe. So you want to eat it at the main meal. I'm not opposed. But maybe unfortunate mistake people might make is that they take a spoonful of sugar, basically, and they put it on the maror, i.e. the charoses is not geshmak. Now, you want to eat your charoses during the meal? Totally fine. And I want to quickly point out that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zatzal, when he speaks about using the charoset, he says you want to eat your charoses during the main meal, that's fine. And he even says make a borei priya eitz. That's fine. He says if there are big apple chunks in your, in your charoses, so he argues that you should make borei priya eitz. That's what he says. But again, not during maror, but it should be noted in the Halicha Shlomo. He does specifically write that. Should be noted. Okay. So if you want to have your charoses and it's big apples, don't forget to, or big nuts even, you should probably make a bracha like in general. If you have an apple during a bread meal, you'd make a eitz. It's not considered machmas asuda. All right. So now, do you dip korech in charoses? Who remembers this one? Anyone know? The Ramah says there's a minug not to dip the korech sandwich into the charoses, but the Shulchan Aruch said you do. What? Oh, very good. That's it. So if you're going to eat it together, so AB is pointing out that you should dip it in the charoses.
No.
Why not?
Because it's
No, but that same pasuk should indicate that what? So you're saying what? You eat the korban pesach with matzah and maror. You're saying charos is left out. But what's the point of the charos? For the maror, no?
But if it's for the
kapha, it's done. Oh. So meaning it could be that anytime you eat maror, you need charos for the kapha, that poison stuff. So the Shulchan Aruch actually said you do dip the korek sandwich into the charos. The Ramah said there's a minhag not to. And the Mishnah Berurah says the real minhag is to go like the Shulchan Aruch on this one. Namely, he writes that the primary opinion is that you should specifically dip the sandwich into charoses. That's what he writes. He says, Ein b'achor, and Masif Kadin Yotes, She eskim with the ikar kidas of Yishona, and that's what he wants to say. All right, very nice. So ultimately, there's a machlokas about Korech, and we try to dip it in. So there, it should be noted, there's a lot of halachos about taste outweighing other taste, right? So why don't we not just do Korech together? Why don't we not just do Korech? I mean, save time. An economic thinker would think it's ridiculous. We have matzah, then we have maror, then what do? Then we do Korech. So why don't we just do one-stop shopping? We just do Korech. You have your matzah and your maror, but you can't do that. Why? Because the matzah would cancel out the taste of the maror, and the maror would cancel out the taste of the matzah. So first you want to be yotzei your matzah, and then you want to be yotzei your maror. Okay, now you also want to be yotzei the opinion of Hillel, who would do it together. So it should be Zeicha, right? Zeicha, I'm sorry. Right, Zeicha. Okay, thank you for the correction. Now, what would be the point of dipping your Korech sandwich at the Haroses? So says the Mishnah Berurah. So according to Hillel, this was the main show. This was the mitzvah of Maror. So if this was the primary mitzvah of Maror, then obviously you would want to have Haroses in the sandwich. Magical, right? I mean, this was the main event regarding your Mars. That's what he says. That's his opinion. So ultimately, you should dip your charoses, your maror into it, and your korech into it. Now, people often get tempted to talk after a long magid, and they start eating their matzah and their maror, and then they start chatting. Why is that not okay? Because your mitzvah of matzah is not over until after korech is over. So when we say motzi, all right, so that's a brisker chumra. Let's leave that. All right, Dr. Karp, Dr. Karp, a little bit frum, which is good, Baruch Hashem. But let's leave the brisker chumras out of this one. But Doctor, you are correct as always. It should be noted the Mishnah Berurah does point out that over there in Sifkat and Tezayin that you shouldn't really speak until after.
You finished
Agada, you finished Halal. Right, he says Mishum Zeh. That's right. So you shouldn't have any Hesach Hadas. You shouldn't really speak until the Korech sandwich is over. This should be somewhat of a difficult halacha to keep. The Shulchan Aruch says it is explicit. Once you make the bracha halacha, this matzah lo yasiach b'davar she'enu me'inyan ha'su'udah ad she'yocha kricha zu. Meaning you need to, again, have your bracha going on the matzah and the Korech. So you want to do it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was machmer for that as well. That since you don't want to make a hefzik, that paragraph of Zeicha LeMikdash, some are machmer to not recite until after they eat the korek sandwich.
That should be your only hefzik during.
Right, yeah, but you could say it's not really a hefzik also in the sense that you're speaking about what you're doing. But Rav Shlomo Zalman, it says before Shlomo, he was machmer. It should be noted that if Pesach falls out on Shabbos and the Seder is on Shabbos, so that would make Borer Usher. So I thought to connect the Parsha also because Shabbos is the beginning of Ayakel. So the Chut Shani, Rav Nissen Karelet says that it's not a problem of Borer to shake your charoses off your maror because it's not really divided, meaning there's always a little bit of charoses left on your maror, so it's not really Borer. You're not fully separating it. I thought just to end with a little bit of Divrei, Musa Divrei, Machshava, Ashkofa. We know that there's this mixed emotion as a consistent theme at the Tlal Seder. We remember both the Avdus and the Cheres. And I wanted to give the Mashal. Because ironically, everything we remember of the charoses is bad, right? The mortar, the blood. Yeah, charoses taste so sweet. It almost is like a very happy song with really sad lyrics. It almost like doesn't add up. And the only positive thing was the Jewish women, right? And the idea was they were able to say, although life is as hard as anything, and we're living through Gehenna right now, we're not going to slow down. And I think that's a big part of the Seder night, that we're eating something that represents the ultimate bitterness, either dead children or the slavery work or the straw, whatever it is, the blood. But ultimately, it tastes sweet because the Jewish people know how to even get through the mortar, the bricks, the blood, and the poison. And we do it as because we even see the sweetness, and we give credit to the Jewish women who allowed us to see the sweetness with even the bitter. B'shul b'zocha to see Tchias HaMesim and see all the victims of all those generations and dance together in the base of Migdash, the Shana Abba of Yerushalayim.